Maybe we're going to bow in a word of prayer. God and Father, we thank you again for your great mercy towards us and for your graciousness and for your kindness. And Lord, again, for allowing us to be here this day that we've set aside to worship you, that we might sit under your word, that we might be encouraged, we might be provoked, we might be stirred in the inner man, Lord, that we would be all you'd have us to be. So, Lord, take your word now and do that work in us, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You might like to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. I'm going to stop there for a second. It's interesting that up to this point, Moses was their leader. Moses was bringing them into the promised land. But now we have the death of Moses, and God hands the mantle, as it were, to Joshua. And he tells Joshua, now I want you to bring my people into this land. Now I'm sure Joshua was a little overwhelmed at this point, but God had some encouraging words for him. Beginning in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide up for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua had an assignment, and it's going to involve war. And here God is preparing Joshua for the task. We prepare for war in the world. Preparing for war. And I'd like to start with my situation, my history, I suppose, of joining the service, the military. In my case, it was the Marines. At the time, there were you could either get drafted or you can volunteer. Drafted, you were forced. Volunteered, it was willing. I chose to volunteer One of the reasons is I had a choice of which branch of the service I was going to go into. If I was drafted, I'd end up going wherever they would send me. And I know I didn't want to go to the Navy and Air Force. I didn't like heights. But anyway, I ended up going into the Marine Corps. And it was interesting, you know, they make you all kinds of promises when you're the recruiter and stuff. But we left. I remember leaving for the call boot camp. It was in Parris Island. With a whole group of men, and then we met even more when we got to New York on a train, all heading for Parris Island. It was a good time. It was a fun time. Then when we got down there, we got on a bus. We're all on this bus heading for Paradise Island or Parris Island. We got down there, there's this big gate. The bus driver had to drive through the gate. Then it's a long bridge to get to the island. When we got there, you know, the bus stopped. Guy with a funny hat got on, one of the drill instructor. Talked to the bus driver a little bit, doing some paperwork. Meanwhile, the rest of us, you know, we're talking and everything. He turns and says, could I have your attention, please? Quiet down, quiet down. I just need your attention. He says, first of all, the United States government and the Marine Corps want to welcome you to Parris Island. We hope you enjoy your stay here. Everything's taken care of. Everything is on the house. All your food, your clothing, everything. If you need anything, just let us know. You know, we'll be sure to help you, etc. So I said, this sounds good. Is that what really happened? No. When he finished with the bus driver, he turned, the next thing I know, he's yelling. Get off the bus, move. Right? Everybody's panicking, trying to get out the door. What happened to Paradise Island? One of the first things he told us was when you pass through that gate, you say goodbye to civilian life. You are no longer a civilian. You now belong to us. The Marine Corps is now your father. The Marine Corps is now your mother. We will tell you what to do. We will tell you what not to do. When to go to bed, when to get up, what to wear, when to eat, when not to eat. We run everything. You have no say. You belong to us. Very interesting. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Parris Island, training. One of the first things they did, we got off the bus, they marched us in. That was another. I'm not going to get into that. I'm trying to get everybody standing straight. Remember, we're just a bunch of nobodies, never did any of this stuff before. Got to make everybody line up. We went, did all the paperwork. And then one of the first things they did was haircut time. And there's a whole bunch of barbers in there. And they say, well, so how do you want your hair done? Maybe a little long on the side or whatever. Ding! Oh! You know, everybody, all your hair falls off, right? You're all bald. Then you get your uniform. You're all dressed the same. You look the same. What happened to individualism? Gone. The training begins. You learn that there is no individualism. You're not out for yourself. They had to break us down and then build us back up. We had to learn discipline. Learn to follow orders. Yes, sir. That was another interesting one. First time you were addressed by the drill instructor, he might ask you something. Where you from? Now, where you from, recruit?
Connecticut, sir. What? Connecticut. Sir?
It's sir. Connecticut, sir. You start it with sir, you end it with sir. And it's not sir. Yes, sir. I can't hear you. Sir. Yes, sir. That you had to learn. You're coming out of from civilian life where you did pretty much what you pleased. Now it's yes, sir. Discipline. Unity. Brotherhood. Confidence. Competence. Endurance. One of our qualifications, we had to run 10 miles, backpack, combat, but not sneakers, combat boots, the whole works. You had to run 10 miles. That was the final run, but you had to work your way up to it. So, you start off, half a mile, you're dropping. But over time, you built up your strength, your exercise. You had all kinds of exercises and stuff. You ended up like a rock. And I remember in this marathon race type thing, we had what we used to call him the old man. He had been in the Air Force, and now he's enlisted in the Marines. I guess he was writing a book or something. But we called him the old man. He had to be about 30. And during this final run, running the 10 miles, those of you that run, you may have heard it, like you get that, I forget what they call it, the burst of energy after a while. Your second wind, I think it was. You get your second wind. Well, running this 10-mile thing, this is the final one with our backpacks and stuff. We had the old man was there. So we're all running. And then, you get that second wind. But here's the old man struck. The old man. He's struggling, though. And all of a sudden, we all got around him to encourage him. While we're running. Some of us are running backwards. Getting him going. Keeping it, come on, you can do it type thing. All the way to the end. We brought him across. That's teamwork. That's brotherhood. We were making a team. We were learning to fight, to be fighters, to be a oneness, a unity. Without that unity, without that discipline, we'd be nothing. We'd be in big trouble. So what's this got to do with the church? Well, in John chapter 1, you might want to turn there for a minute. I'm going to compare the church with an army. There is no draft into God's army. It's all volunteer. John chapter 1, if you're there. Verse 11, he came unto his own, that's the Jewish people, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So here you can sign up. You enlist in the Lord's army, if you will. You're not forced. But is that where it ends? Is that it, the end? Verse 12. As many as received him gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Okay, that's it. You're in. You're all that you're meant to be. It's like the Marines. When you sign up for the Marine Corps, the recruiter didn't say, okay, that's it, you're a Marine. Have fun. No. Now you have to go to boot camp. Does the church have boot camp? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Skipping down to verse 11. And he gave some to the church, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What was the purpose of this? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boot camp has begun. As in the military, you have the drill instructors to teach you. The church, we have the pastors and teachers, etc. Have a purpose to build us up in the faith. Verse 14, and then from henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which supporteth, which every joint supporteth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto edifying itself in love. Building us up into the faith, making us a oneness, a unity, just like in the military. Team, working together. That's different than civilian life. Military life. Those of you in the military understand what I'm talking about. We now become brothers, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Another spot. Wow. I do that all the time. I got the 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I wonder why it wasn't making any sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Skipping down to verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Again, I could think of the Marine Corps. That's what they were training us to do. There were many members, but only one body, one unit. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Many members, one body. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Going back to that run that we had. We all gathered around helping that one person to get across the finish line. That's what the brethren does. That's what the church should be doing. Each member helping one another. No divisions. No competition. No, I'm better than you. No, as believers, we're all the same, running that race that God has put before us. Another place, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. First four verses, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, Timothy, that's who he's writing this to. Thou therefore, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And the word chosen there can be translated enlisted. You enlisted. You volunteered for this. So my question is then, what is a good soldier? A good soldier would be one who is faithful, loyal, follows orders, willing to give up his civilian life, if you will, willing to give up his civilian life, the pleasures of civilian life, in order to serve his commander. He's telling Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're a new creature. You're giving up your old ways, your old nature. No man worth entangling himself with the affairs of this life. I think today, too many Christians are on Easy Street, in this country anyway. And we can get all tangled up in the pleasures of life. And in that, we neglect the things of God. A good soldier does not do that. A good soldier has discipline, has endurance, has faithfulness, is confident, has competence, and unity, a brotherhood. That should be true of the soldiers of Jesus Christ. That should be true of every believer. Could you be defined as a good soldier? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. So let's look at the training program a little bit. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Skipping down to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're not talking about weapons, rifles, and things like that. We're talking about it's a spiritual warfare. One of the things that we had to go through in basic training stuff is our weapon, a rifle. Every Marine, whether you're a general or a private, is a rifleman. And you better know that rifle inside and out. As if, like they told you, that rifle is your mother. And you protect her with all you got. And you better know, we had to learn to take that thing apart. They used to time us. They built it. Then you had to do a blindfolded. And all the parts laid out and blindfolded. You had to put that rifle together. And it better work. When it was all done, the drill instructor would come and check it out. Now we can't say, oh, that's so hard. I don't want to do that. You try to do that and see what happens. You better have that rifle working because you're going to need it. In a spiritual warfare, we have given weapons. You can't say, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to use that. No, you better because you're going to need it. So let's look at some of our weapons, if you will. Ephesians 6, some of our armor. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we read this earlier, but let's start number one, verse 10. First of all, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So here we're told to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. Now here, we're not relying upon our power. We're not relying upon us. We're relying upon the Lord, our God, and his power and his might. That's what this armor is all about. Watch. Verse 11. Again, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God, not just some of it. No, this is too heavy, or you know, I don't like the way this looks. Everything. The whole armor of God. 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, or world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's describing our foe. That's describing the enemy. That's who we have to stand against. Look what's happening. Look what's happening around us. Morality's collapsing. Everything's falling apart, seemingly. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Gird about your loins with truth. Look, keep your finger here, but turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Going down to first verse 13. And told, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The loins of your mind. Gird up the loins with truth, your mind. That all began, think about it, it all began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. The devil made one statement, eat of the fruit and you'll be like God. God says don't. Satan says do. God says don't. They had a choice to make in the mind. Thinking right. Thinking truth. What was the truth? Truth is what God said. Don't eat of that. God's word is true, resting on truth. Think right. We need to think right as we're dealing with things that are going on. We're going to make choices every day. We need to base it upon what God has said. So gird up your loins with truth. Number 15, or verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of grace. Going into combat, you don't run into combat wearing flip-flops or even sneakers. You're fighting a battle. You got to be prepared. Your feet's got to be protected too. And as believers, we're sent out to preach the good news. Your feet got to be protected. Verse 16, above all this, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of the faith. That's where our confidence comes in. Confidence in God's word. Confidence in what God says. Resting on his promises. The shield of faith. Do we do that? Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. Going into combat, you want your head protected. You wear a helmet. Our salvation. And then you have the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? I know we sometimes say, lift up your sword. And it's true. But I look at it as this is a sword belongs in a, they call it sheath. Sheath, whatever it is. That's what this is. The swords are in it. For example, let me look at Matthew chapter 4. Keep your finger here. No, you don't have to keep your finger here. Matthew chapter 4. Let's see how that works. This is what made me think of it. If I can get there. Starting in verse 3, real quick here. And when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus pulled out his sword. And he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He shall be filled. Whoops. Wrong sword. Wrong sword. Better get the right sword out. What was the right sword? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again, in verse 6, again the devil saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, as it is written. He shall give his angels concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against it. Now, the devil's using a sword. Jesus reaches in and pulls out his sword. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the... Oh, no. Wrong sword. Wrong sword. What's the right sword? As it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again in verse 9. And the devil saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou shalt fall down and worship me. And he said, and he pulls out his sword, blessed are you when men shall revile. Oh, I got the wrong sword. What was the right sword? Get behind me. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We need to know how to use the sword. We need to know how to use the word of God, the scripture. We need to, it's like in the military, you need to know how to use your weapon. You need to know it forward and backward. That's the same with scripture. If we're going to fight, and by the way, the sword is listed in that list in Ephesians. That's the only weapon there is the sword. And we need to be swordsmen, if you will. Thus, one more place, Hebrews chapter 10. How are we doing as soldiers of the cross? How is our training? How are we doing in our training? Hebrews chapter 10. And going down to verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To provoke means to move someone, to stir them up, to motivate them, to incite them. Like again, it's like that runner. We gather around him to encourage him, to keep him going, to provoke him. That's what we should be doing as fellow soldiers, as brethren. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. No, we're a unity, we're a oneness. We should be exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Graduation day. We couldn't wait for graduation day. And graduation day is the first time that we were ever called a Marine. Up to that point, you were a recruit, and you were less than that, actually. But graduation day, when you graduated, you were a Marine. When we graduate from our training, and our war right here, there's a day coming. The end of that verse. As you see the day approaching. What day is that? Revelation 19. I have fought the good fight. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We're talking about the church. The marriage of the Lamb, the church. And to her, to the church, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We're given a new uniform. It's like when we graduated. You are now a Marine. Now we're given a new uniform. Let's look at this day that's approaching. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. He's coming to judge the nations. He's on a white horse. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had the name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And he's not coming alone. The next verse. And the armies, which were in heaven, followed him upon the white horses, and clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. The armies, the saints that were coming with him, were also on white horses. How do I know that's the saints? It's the church. It's the bride. That goes back to verse 8. To the bride was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. We're coming back with him. He's coming with his armies. That's us. Yes, sir. What kind of soldier are you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, God's army is not yes, sir. God's army is yes, sir. Are you ready? Are you ready for graduation day? Or are we still caught up in civilian life? We need to work at it. Someday this training will be over. And we'll be coming with the commander-in-chief himself. Woohoo! I can't wait for that. To judge the nations. And we'll be with them. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. But think of what's going on in the world today. He's going to straighten it out and fast. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, sir. Are you looking for that day? Looking toward that day? Where everything's going to be made right? We're going to be riding in on white horses. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. When I read that, I was getting excited. Ooh. Things look so bad. Oh, this is going on. Yeah. There's a white horse waiting for me. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, the written word. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for provoking us and exhorting us and prodding us, stirring us up, Lord, that we would not be lazy in our spiritual walk. We would be those soldiers that are marching in unison, in oneness with you, our Commander-in-Chief. So we thank you for this time and again for your great mercy and grace towards us and for your many blessings. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.